Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, it's not necessarily mind power today. It's going to be knitting power. And this, I know, is going to seem a little strange because knitting is something that is a very visual aspect. But Liat Gat is my guest, and Liat is just a fascinating gal. She has a passion for this, and she has acquired the nickname of Knitting Superstar. So we're going to be chatting with her. I want to welcome you to the show, Liat.
Thank you so much, Donna. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Your photo that you have on your website and with your ebook, I think, is just adorable. It looks like you're in a state of shock. you know, I went to look at your materials, and I just said, oh, this is a hoot, because it's almost like it depended on the mood. When you look at the picture, you wonder if you're saying, oh, no, I dropped a stitch. Oh, what do I do now? Or, woo, is this exciting? I mean, it all depends on what your mood is when you look at it. I get a big kick out of it.
But there's no mistaking that I'm passionate about it, though, from the picture.
Absolutely. You can take it whatever way you want. Yeah. How in the world did you get started with this? Because knitting, we were chatting a little bit before we came on the air. I have about as much patience with knitting as I do cleaning out garbage cans. I mean, this is just not my idea of a fun thing, and yet I have such wonderful friends who those knitting needles will just go clickety-clack, and they turn out the most beautiful things, and I really admire the skill. What got you involved in this?
I know it's so much more clear to me what made me decide to start it as a business rather than what was the spark to begin it. I just remember after I graduated high school, I thought, I will now learn to knit. And it was so funny because I grew up in the Bay Area in California. It's not cold. But for some reason, I wanted something that was going to be my own, that I could get really good at, that I could be an expert in maybe. And so I got the Idiot's Guide to Knitting and Crocheting at the library probably and, you know, sat down at page one. So I'm a very sort of logical, I will now learn this. And so knitting was a good craft for me because there's a lot to learn. So I just sat down and worked through, you know, page one to page 100 and made some awful-looking things.
Oh, I wonder who got those goodies. Okay.
Yep, I don't have them anymore.
Yes, well, we all have to go through that learning curve, and I know of some people that just started knitting because their church wanted to make 1,000 socks or whatever. And, you know, just simple projects like that. And people say, well, I'd like to help, but I don't know anything about it. And so the ladies would typically get together. Now, I can remember as a child that it was often mandatory to learn how to do something with your hands. And when you go back in time, women were always supposed to know how to tat, which is a very rare thing that's done today. This is going a few centuries back. Knitting was important because we didn't have the ease of buying clothes. When you go back a century or two, women had to know how to do this because usually they didn't have a job outside of home. So they had to know how to darn the socks and that type of thing. So for knitting, for women today, it's not mandatory, but holy Moses, there's a lot of gals out there. And even some guys that really enjoy doing it. Why do you think it's maintained such a popularity?
Well, you know, the admirable quality that people so admired about knitting a long time ago was the industry of it, right? Like in, you know, our early American history, no idle hands, right? That was very lauded as being very virtuous. And I think that still really applies. Like that feeling of being useful while you are socializing, or that feeling of accomplishment that you get from being busy with your hands as opposed to just, you know, like sitting there, it feels good, and it's generally looked upon as a pretty admirable trait. Like when people see me knitting wherever mm-hmm. I am, no one's like, "What are you doing?" They're like, "Wow, look what you're working on! How beautiful!" Mm-hmm. So I think the feeling still continues. And, you know, speaking of learning to knit when you're a child, I wish that could still be the case nowadays. I know that in Finland, children all have to learn how to knit before they take their math classes, which
oh,
I think is very creative.
Oh, now that's interesting. I have never
and of
heard
course
that.
They can do it.
Whoa, mm-hmm. boys as well as the girls?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
there's no sexism in knitting in Finland.
Well, I think that is amazing. Of course, a lot of the products that come out of that part of the world, clothing products, sweaters, because that's a very cold environment. So mm-hmm. knowing how to do that is quite a discipline. That's amazing. I learned something today I didn't know. I didn't realize that was mandatory as mm-hmm. part of the education. That's actually a good tool to teach math with, when you think about it.
Sure, because the stitches are so visible, right? One, two, mm-hmm. three, four, there they are. Count them, add them, subtract them. I mm-hmm. actually have taught both of my little nephews to knit. They're now 7 and 9 years old, and they both know how to knit. And it can be done. Children can absolutely do it. You just have to instill the right attitude in them, which is that it's okay to mess up. It's okay for stuff to look bad. It's mm-hmm. good. It means you're learning. That's one of my mm-hmm. favorite parts about teaching people knitting. And, you know, a lot of adults still haven't got that concept that they don't have to be perfect when they're learning something they've never done before, which is amazing to me.
Now, the difference between knitting and crocheting, because as I told you before we came on the show, crocheting was the technique I enjoyed doing. And I think one of the reasons is that it went so fast for me. My fingers would mm-hmm. just fly. Knitting, mm-hmm. I just, with the needles and all of this stuff, it's like, I'm sorry, I just don't have patience for this. But I would crochet a storm. In fact, I can remember the times when I'd lug my crochet around and I made a king-size coverlet for a bed that was given as a gift. And someone, and the guy that got it, he said, "Holy Moses, this is awesome." He said, "This is really going to keep me warm."
Mm-hmm. And you know how long it would take to knit an entire coverlet? It would take forever.
No, thank you. I'm not going
to knit a blanket.
But the crocheting
yeah.
got it done. And it took me a couple of months to do that anyway, and I really focused on it. So knitting, and there's various levels of knitting. There's various types of knitting. And mm-hmm. it all depends on your projects that you start out with. But how did you get the name of the knitting superstar? What is it that is made you get recognition about something that so many women do around the world?
I think the name Knitting Superstar came from, it was sort of my vision of what I help other people do. I mean, I definitely didn't sit down when I started my business and say, I need a catchy name. mm-hmm. My name is unique enough as it is. But I thought, I mean, when I put together this product, I thought, I'm going to try to support myself teaching people to knit over the internet. How on earth am I going to make that work? I need to come up with something that people really want and really need. And I'd like to do it doing something that I specialize in, which is taking people from being okay knitters, of which there are millions, people who have learned a few things, they can make a scarf. I want to take them to being able to knit anything they want, to being mm-hmm. a knitting superstar. So that's how, I know, actually, somebody called me. It was like a sales call. Like, mm-hmm. I think Google AdWords called me and was like, "Oh, you're starting a business. We want to give you some free advertising. What is it that you do?" And I had to sort of sum it up in 20 seconds over the phone. And I was like, "Well, I teach people how to become knitting superstars, basically." And then I was like, "Wow, that's good."
Hey, those ideas come when we least expect it. Well, mm-hmm. I know that it's a big tension reliever for women. It wasn't mm-hmm. for me, but I know for a lot of people it is. Once they become comfortable with what they're doing, they, like you said, they like to keep their hands busy. And many times it enables, I find, women to have an excuse to listen if they're in with a group of people, be comfortable, and be able to listen very carefully, and if they're bored, they won't bother with anything, but if they're not bored with a conversation, they'll still interject. It's a mm-hmm. real good balancing act, I find. It's amazing when I see women and men doing it. But I have to say, I see more women than not. Now, there are a number of knitting stores. There was a phase for a few years where the knitting stores were really having a challenge. But I know that we have a woman in our neighborhood who started up, hers was Yorkie's shop or something like this. It's just adorable. Her shop is just gorgeous, and she has yarns that come from around the world, and there's all kinds of price tags on them. I mean, you can go very inexpensively, or you can spend a whole bunch of money on the yarn, depending on what you buy. When it comes to yarns, when someone is beginning to do this, let's say they've fiddled around with it or they're sort of interested in it, what would you recommend for them to start out with?
Well, I recommend that people not spend a lot of money right away when they're starting out. And if someone doesn't know how to knit, they can go to knitfreedom.com. They can click Learn to Knit, and I have a little guide. It's a little free guide as to how to get started with about 10 videos. And I talk about buying yarn to begin with. And I really recommend, even though I want everyone to support these local yarn stores and these local businesses, I think you should just go to Michael's or go to Joann's at the beginning and get yourself a ball of whatever. I tell you what thickness you need so that, like you said, it doesn't go too slow. I do start people off with pretty thick yarn. That would be like a bulky weight yarn so that they can see their progress. But other than that, the fiber does not matter. It just has to be something that you can stand to touch, you know, for maybe 10 hours while you're working on, maybe 5 hours while you're working on your very first project. After that, you can start to have an appreciation for what you might want to spend your money on. And there are some beautiful, beautiful fibers nowadays that have that were never available before. Merino wool is a wool that is not itchy. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm allergic to wool, but I think it's mostly because it just feels itchy. And merino wool is soft and bouncy. It comes in all different colors. It can be machine washable. You can pretty much order off of the universal wish list when it comes to yarn nowadays. You can move up to, like, some of the things you're talking about. Cashmere and silk now are some of the more pricey yarns. Even Kiviet, I think, is the priciest yarn. Kiviet is made from the down of the musk ox.
Yes.
They have to follow.
It's an incredible fiber. Oh, my goodness. And I'm fascinated with the fact that you brought that up. Have you ever worked with it?
Oh, yeah. Once I learned about it, you know, it's like reportedly the warmest and lightest fiber ever. I was like, well, I have to try this.
And it
is. And I have knitted with it. It's really warm. I mean, it's like $100 for a little ball of it.
Well, it's $100.
I'm glad I can say that I did it.
Yes, I'll tell you. I have an awareness of that because Alaska has been like a second home to me. So there is a little shop, digressing for a moment, up in Anchorage, and you go in, and you will find the history on the muskox. It's on 4th Street and in downtown Anchorage. And you go up there, they've got muskox painted all on the outside of the building, and the history about that wool, and that they don't clip the hair on the animals. They have muskox farms up there. But they wait until they molt, and then they just pick it up, and they send it to, from what I was told, to a manufacturing facility that processes cashmere so it can be washed, and it's treated just as like cashmere. But these women that do the knitting in the villages up in Alaska, these are works of art. I have two pieces. I've had them for a number of years, and I cherish them because they are incredibly warm. I had clients that said, if you're in, you know, below zero weather, this will save your face and it will save your hands. And I can't tell you how many times when I've flown, especially during winter, I just wrap that kind of wool around my hands and, oh, I'm warm and nothing flat.
It's like
amazing.
A cloud. It's so light.
Oh, it is.
It's so
you have
light.
To be careful. Yeah. Otherwise, it's too easy to lose it. You don't even feel it. It's amazing.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm serious.
Don't even mention losing it.
Yeah, I've had people tell me that they have lost pieces because it's so wonderfully light. Let's go back. You know, we're talking about the yarns here, and I think that there's so many different aspects with knitting. I mean, you have knit outfits. I think of St. John's that you can buy. Those are knit outfits, and the knit outfits are wonderful, but they are very, very different. Those are machine made.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might want to do them by hand, but the knitting machines, that is a whole different genre too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is, and not sure that I want to get very close to knitting machines. I thought about going into the knitting production business for a while, but it's so far removed from what we think of, you know, as our hobby. It's all machine beds and what do they call them, cones of yarn in bulk, and they can weave the fabric so much more tightly.
Yes, very fine.
So it's really different. What I do like about knitwear in general, even sweatshirts and stuff, you can, or jeans, I mean, everything's woven. You can actually show someone on your sweatshirt or your jeans, you can say, look, this is ribbing, this is a knit stitch, this is a purl stitch. You can, because it really is the same stitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look on the inside of your sweater, you'll see a bunch of horizontal bumps.
Yes.
You look on the outside, you'll see like vertical ridges, and then on the ribbing part, they alternate, and it kind of brings it home. This is all the same way of constructing the fabric. It's all, we're all doing the same thing.
Now, one of the tools that you also have, because you have an excellent video display, you have made it simple. You do have a book that is available. You've got an e-book that people can utilize, they can download.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that you use a tapestry needle, and a tapestry
mm-hmm.
needle is pretty heavy, and it's got a big eye on the end of it, which makes it easy to put materials through.
Mm-hmm.
Do tapestry needles come in different sizes like the knitting needles?
Actually, I kind of wish they did. They come in like two sizes, and pretty much for those thicker yarns, you just have to, you can twist them in your fingers and
mm-hmm.
push them through. But they come in tiny sizes, but not very big, because you really only use them at the very end of your project to put, like, weave in any loose ends, or you can attach fringe to your scarves with a tapestry needle.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't actually use it to construct the fabric itself, so it's, you definitely need one, but just one size.
Now, you make the comment that for anybody that's wanting to lose weight, which after holidays, you know, people are saying, oh, please, having something like this in your hands, knitting, it really can make a difference. And you say it's really, really a good habit to develop. So instead of running to the refrigerator, you could pick up a knitting project. And I've got a friend who is an avid knitter. In fact, she teaches knitting classes. And Shirley found herself a bag. I mean, it's just wonderful. She can put her knitting in it. It's a good size satchel. It goes with her everywhere. And she can just, she's often got two or three projects going on in that bag, and she has her yarn in plastic bags, and she has her needles. She strategically places everything so that it fits inside of, let's say, a gallon bag, and then that way she keeps her projects separate. And I looked at her. In fact, I saw her yesterday, and I thought, wow, this is really something. She's got it down pat, but this is a passion of hers. And she gets bored.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to keep two or three projects going. She says it gets very boring doing certain things.
I love what you said about the bag because, you know, knitting bags nowadays are absolutely gorgeous. They're making them from all sorts of materials, including leather. And one company is called Namaste. They make these gorgeous bags. I mean, you're going to want to... There's these big oversized purses that are really fashionable now.
Mm-hmm.
They come in black and purple and sort of this beautiful pink color. And, like, this deep red, and people are carrying them around just as their purses. And speaking of having something to do when you're bored, this is, I think, one of the main benefits of knitting, is because it makes you a more patient person. Like, if someone's boring you, which will happen, or, like, whoever's driving the car gets you lost, which will happen, you're like, hey, that's okay, I've got my knitting right here. You're waiting in line, like, your flight gets delayed, you're waiting at the post office behind 20 other people. You're like, it's okay. Everything doesn't have to happen right now. I've got my knitting project right here. It really transforms people. I say it can even improve your marriage. I think that's how much impact it has on patience and just giving a little bit of room for other people because you don't need them to do everything right now, right away, because you're knitting.
Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of women, it is a tension reliever.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really is. it allows them, because you have to focus when you're knitting. You have to pay attention to what you're doing, even if
right.
you're extremely skilled, and I know you are, but you do have to watch what you're doing, because you can drop stitches and, you know, all kinds of things can go on. So it's a good way to develop focus. And I think the social aspect, like the women I know that go to these knitting classes, they just love this. It's like the gals that do the quilting. They go, mm-hmm. oh, we're going to go. This is what we're going to do. And I think it's that socialization. Women really enjoy it. There are not many men I know that get excited about saying, excuse me, would you come to my knitting class? There's a few. But generally, mm-hmm. men are not as inclined to do that. Women enjoy that kind of camaraderie. They really,
exactly.
really do. They really like it. So it's a wonderful tension reliever. And, gee, I think of the moms that go to games, or you've even got PTA meetings, or, hey, political rallies. That's a good one. Take along a couple of projects. You get a lot done.
you know, they say that in meetings, like business meetings, knitting has been proven to help people focus and retain information better. Or like in
mm-hmm.
college students love knitting because it's a tension reliever, like you said, gives them something to focus on, and it frees up something about using your hands, frees up your mind to be a little bit more present with what's going on, especially if your professor, like, talks really slow or something. But there's
yeah.
this wonderful balance between, you know, being entertained and industrious and calm and focused all in the same, plus the social aspect where you get encouragement and other people oohing and aahing over what you're doing and just participating in the same creativeness and the same joy.
Now, you've helped
it's really remarkable.
70... Yeah, you've worked with over 70,000 people teaching them how to knit. You've done television shows, and you say, I can teach anybody to knit in 10 minutes. And when you're doing this, it has to be a lot of fun, because I imagine that there are those that, especially the younger generation, they go, you've got to be kidding. 10 minutes? Forget it. I won't be able to learn it. It must be a lot of fun when you're able to get people to see how they can work with knitting in
mm-hmm.
10 minutes.
You know, the only problem that I have is that I have to sort of hold back. I love it when my students have that aha moment of like, oh, I can do this. Look at me go. That I, you know, I have to make sure that I don't overload them with knitting information right away, and that I just keep it at a pace that they can keep that slow discovery up. That's how much I love being there when they realize what they can do. And I wanted to say that when you're learning something new like this, it hinges so much not on just the learning environment, which I think needs to be the right kind of environment, but the person's attitude,
mm-hmm.
which I think really varies pretty widely between young people and grown-ups. It's hard to predict what kind of attitude people are going to have towards themselves and what they believe about themselves as far as their ability to learn. I have seen some women, you know, maybe 45, 50-year-old women, those are the bulk of my students, and I've seen them telling themselves, I'm awful at this, I can't do this, I'm stupid, that was dumb. And I'm like, excuse me, absolutely not in my class.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that really progress are the people that are just okay with making mistakes and saying, oops, that didn't work, will you show me how to fix it? And it's not a scary feeling for them. And so one of my passions is to be there for people and help them through the difficulties that they're having with themselves as far as learning. That difficult experience of not being very good at something and having that be okay, I'm sort of there for them to hold that for them and say, no, it's okay, you're supposed to be messing up, you're learning something new, I'm right here. And I can't get enough of that. I love it.
Mm-hmm. You talk in your program, your information, your ebook, and the other items that you have available to people. You have a blog. You've got all kinds of information. You go into working with patterns. Now,
mm-hmm.
this is something, some people are very good at reading patterns. They've just got that, what I call the linear thinking that goes along with whatever needs to be done. Other people don't have that. How do you deal with people that when it comes to looking at a pattern, they go, oh, my Lord, I'll never get this done, especially if you want to do different colors in a sweater
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you've graduated to that level? There is a technique of dropping a color, putting something in. so that it doesn't look like you've had 45 martinis without olives by the time you're finished. I mean, sometimes it just doesn't work very well. How do you teach somebody to work with a pattern?
That is a great question, and I'm not sure that I'm thinking of it in the same way as you are. I mean, I tend to think of being able to read a pattern as just knowledge. Like, I speak English, I do not speak Russian. I have not learned Russian. So I can say to myself, oh man, I'm just not very good at speaking Russian. It's just not my thing. But the truth is that I haven't spent the time and been in the right environment to learn it either or practice it. So I have a really sort of responsibility-filled attitude towards learning, and on my blog I try to emphasize why it's important to be able to read a pattern. For instance, if you're going to Russia, you will have fun, especially, I mean, the travel agent can tell you where to go, you can have an English-speaking guide, and you will see some cool stuff, but if you learn Russian, the entire history and culture opens up to you. Reading a knitting pattern, I think, is just like that. It's a new language that, if you know the language, you can read all the instructions. Mm-hmm. Like, for the complicated, I think that the complication goes away. There's no difficult and easy as long as they're written well, and I teach people how to spot that and what they need to look out for in a poorly written pattern, because there are a lot. But as long as they're written correctly, it's like step-by-step instructions. If you can't read the instructions, life is going to be really hard. And I think it ultimately ends up holding a lot of people back from being able to knit. They're like, oh, well, I just can't read that pattern. I have to stick with what I know. And so I actually, in my Knitting Superstar ebook that just came out, which is a real comprehensive course, the very first section is all about why you should know how to read a pattern, how to do it quickly so that you don't get overwhelmed. And then I have a video dictionary of each abbreviation in the pattern, so that you don't have to like memorize everything at once. You can refer to it just like a regular reference guide, only it's on your computer and you have me teaching you there each little step of the way. So that you can refer to it as you go.
You know, we're having a real, real rough winter in the eastern area of the United States. I know there are so many people up in Alaska that like doing this, but you had a pattern that you've got a photo of that's a leg warmer with buttons. Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, I bet you the people would just love to have something like that, especially with all the snow and the cold that they're experiencing. These leggings are simple patterns, it looks like. And you have been able to put that in. And there are a lot of things. It can be a lot of fun. It can be, you can make gifts for people. They're not expensive. You see, there's a lot of different items that could be made for under $20. And
absolutely.
I just think it's a wonderful way of being able to expand a creative style. And I think, again, for women, it's a wonderful social opportunity. So it's a great thing to do. Now, you are on Twitter. You are on Ravelry. You have got a blog. You have got Facebook, YouTube. I mean, my goodness, woman, you are really a social networker of the ultimate level. How do you keep
Thank
up with all that?
Thank you very much.
My goodness.
Oh, wow. That
well,
is a big
is
list.
Yes. This is what you'll need to do for those of you that are interested in this. It really is a wonderful hobby if you're inclined to do this. And I would say go to her website, knitfreedom.com, knitfreedom.com. She's also got another way of connecting to her site. It's called knittingsuperstar.com. And you can go to Knit Freedom on Twitter, Ravelry, do her blog, Knit Freedom blog. And she's on Facebook, Knit Freedom, YouTube. She's got visuals there. And she's obviously found her passion, and business is growing. I mean, you've really gotten quite a response from this.
It's been amazing. And another way that I've started to connect with the growing number of students that I have is doing live chats. I threw a live chat party for the release of my Knitting Superstar ebook last week, and it was an amazing way to meet everyone in real time. It was a little insane with how fast everyone was typing, but it was on Ravelry, and that's just it's just one other way that I'm trying to sort of manage the growth of my business, because you're right, it is growing really fast. And one of the ways that I've tried to do that is to create a forum for people to have discussions so that mm-hmm. they're not just emailing me with their questions, because that doesn't really help anybody. So I've got this sort of user-moderated community now where people are helping each other. Everyone's working on the same projects and the same challenges. They're all coming at it from different ability levels. And a lot of them are really, really happy to give their time and encouragement to the other members of the forum. And I think it's such a valuable resource now. I think it's sort of one of the main selling points of what makes Become a Knitting Superstar even more supportive than your average book, because you become a part of this community that is like, I'm working on that too, and this is what I did, and I even made a video. I've got people making knitting videos to, you know,
that's
showing each other
marvelous.
On this forum, which is crazy. And
it gives me a little time to make some more videos.
All right.
We are out of time. I am so glad you were able to join me today. Knitting is not a common subject to discuss, but I'll tell you what, it's been fun. Go to her website, knitfreedom.com. And, of course, you can find Knit Freedom on a blog and, gee whiz, all kinds of things. And you just heard about the community. So if you're interested, check her out, because I think you will enjoy what Liat Gat has put together. Again, Liat, thank you so much for being my guest today. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, we've got a great lineup this week. And, you know, whenever you listen to this show, you've got all kinds of interesting conversations that are going to be having. And tomorrow, we're going to be having one with a Dr. Wes Jones. We're going to be talking about the most common malady, period, that people have. And believe me, this is true. And it is constipation. And he's going to be talking to us about how we can avoid that. And I think most people avoid this subject. But believe it or not, it has a great deal to do with the wellness. And too many times, not only is it related to diet, but there's some other things that go on as well. Now, on Friday, we've got Howard Weimer. We're going to be talking about inner guidance and four spiritual gifts. Now, what are these gifts? They're intuitive gifts. And we're going to be talking in detail about how you can determine which one of these four is the strongest within you, because all of us have psychic ability, but it is understanding how we can work with it. So we've just got a great lineup. Now, if you want to find out more about the guests that are coming up on my program, when you come into bbsradio.com, station one, go to the Donna Sebo Show, hit show information, and you'll be able to find out. There's a little brief write-up on all of the guests. I know we've got a caller on the line, but before I go to that caller, I want to give you the worldwide toll-free number that you can call into. It is 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from New York, Westchester County. My name is Tina.
Hi, Tina. Wow. How are you doing with the storm situation in New York?
Oh, I'm telling you, it's been so hard here. I'm all alone, and, oh, geez, this shoveling is killing me.
Well, forget
it's tough,
the shovel.
It's tough.
Yeah, you just take it easy. Don't overdo it. You know, one of the things that happens when these storms come in and they hit like this and you've got a doozy, we all feel like, gee whiz, we got to go out there and clean stuff away right away. Just keep your cool, because too many people end up injuring their backs, especially if you're not in good, you know, you have all of these different things that can affect you. So take it easy, relax, look at it, bless it, have your hot cocoa, tea, watch your favorite shows, whatever you want to do. You're listening to the Donna Sebo Show, which is cool. So just really
I did enjoy that woman about the knitting, because I just started knitting now a baby blanket. Of course, my daughter-in-law is going to have a baby in July, and I wanted to know
wonderful.
If I'll be able to get to North Carolina and sell my house by then.
Well, I'm not so sure about selling the house, but I am seeing some people interested in buying it. There's a very good chance you are going to be able to sell it before the end of this year. What I think is going to be happening, when you ask me that question, Tina, there is a couple that will be interested in buying your home, but they are going to have to really be very diligent about doing what is required by the lender. And for some reason, I'm seeing it taking longer than it should, because I believe a realtor is involved in this, and I think that they've got more than one, you know, sale that they're working on, and so it might take longer than expected to get it all cleared. But I do believe there is an interested buyer before the end of the year. But these people are going to have
to put it on.
So
on the market in March.
Well, I think that's a good time. March or
and
April
wanted,
would be excellent.
I wanted to know if I should change realtors. I wasn't that happy with my last one, so I'm thinking about this woman.
I would definitely change the realtor, because you've got a huge selection out there. There's no reason for you not to really make an evaluation. And you need to find out who the top realtors are in your area, and then take it from there. But this has been a tough economy, so there's a lot of stuff that's had to be dealt with. But on the other hand, you had to do a lot of work. You're still in the process of getting certain things up to par. And that's all you need to do. If you want to start packing some boxes and putting them somewhere so that when it comes time for you to move, you'll be able to do it readily and easily, go ahead and start doing it. Because it's an interesting thing. When you start making preparations for a move, it's almost as if there is a silent message going out. This is serious. This is not make-believe. It's really going to be happening. And it's surprising how quickly, when the move comes, that you're going to be scrambling. So even if you start putting stuff aside now that you really don't need and just say, I'm going to pack it away because this is what I need to do, and you just start doing those last-minute loose ends, and then when you're ready, stage your house so that it is going to be very attractive, and you might want to get the assistance of a professional on that or just go to the library and read some good books about staging and how you can do that with your home. Because once it's opened up, the less clutter you have in your home and the way you place things that you do still have in it can really make a difference. So just look at whatever you need to do and say, okay, if I know I need to paint this part of the bathroom or I've got to replace a section of flooring in the kitchen, and of course I'm just using examples, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. You will be very glad you have taken the time with the small details. You've taken care of the big stuff, so it's the little details you want to pay attention to.
Okay. Oh, I feel better now.
I'm glad about this. Well, don't get stressed out
really
over it.
It's putting stress on my health, so I'm like, oh.
Oh, Tina, you just need to relax about this.
For 2 years. Oh.
It's all right. It's getting close. It's getting close. Just finish up what you need to finish up.
Right.
You stay warm now.
Yes, I will try to.
Yeah, and don't worry about the shoveling, okay?
No.
It's not going anywhere. You're very welcome.
Right.
This is
bye.
Take care, dear. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you a little bit of trivia. Chocoholics existed. I've got a story about chocoholics and a period of history that I think you'll enjoy. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. This is Vicki. I'm from the Bronx, New York. And just like Tina, I'm trying to deal with this weather.
You know, I think Mother Nature every once in a while gives us a test. I think she says, you are not going to know everything. And she just all of a sudden dumps surprises on us, and I think we get a little complacent. We think we've got everything under control until she has a PMS attack.
Yeah.
And then we've got a good one, right?
Right.
She's having a good moment. Okay, Vicki, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I am looking at is a heartbreak that has not totally healed. When I look at this heartbreak, I think you really need to turn around and ask yourself why the healing has not happened. You need to be able to take whatever the experience was, and I'm not being shown what that is, but whatever the experience or experiences that affected you emotionally to such a degree that I feel like there's just this huge scar over the heart. But it keeps weeping when I'm looking at this scar. It's not totally healed. You need to let go of what is not of value, and you need to take whatever the experience or experiences were that affected you so profoundly and extract the value of those experiences so that you can move forward. You are in a transformational period, and it could last anywhere from 2 to 4 years. It will be up to you. And during this, you're going to get a lot of regurgitation of old stuff. It's like your mental file cabinet. The drawers are just going to start sliding open, and all kinds of old mental files are going to come filing out. And you need to be able to look at that when it's happening and go, what in the world triggered that? You need to look at it and not be afraid of it. No embarrassment, nothing. It's just experience. Put the file back in the cabinet, slam the drawer, lock it. You don't need to get stuck in the thinking. And you know what I think is going to trigger it? I think there is someone that you will be around. It's either a class reunion or it's a friend you don't see very often. Somebody could be, you know, a relative, and they're going down memory lane and saying, oh, remember blankety-blank so-and-so and blah, 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 and all of a sudden this stuff is going to fly. in your head. Hmm. Watch how you're responding. It's dead in the water. It has no life to it unless you give it life. And your emotional self could take you on a journey that you would not enjoy. So you need to be mindfully thoughtful. If your emotions just all of a sudden start responding in a way and you go, what is doing this? Listen, think, and observe. Now, Vicki, we're going to go on a break for just a moment. Will you stay with me?
Yes, I will, Donna.
All right, dear. We're coming back in just a little bit. This is Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756. We'll be taking Vicki's question, and I'd be delighted to take your call if you want to give me a call at 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Now, before I go and take Vicki's question, I want to let those of you who are listening in the Pacific Northwest let you know that I'm going to be appearing at the Northwest Women's Show. That's March 4th, 5th, and 6th. March 4th, 5th, and 6th. It's going to be here before we know it. I'm also going to be presenting a forum on Friday, March the 4th. We are going to have six outstanding speakers. We will have 3 hours. The first hour, it will be dealing with health. We've got some wonderful, wonderful women that are coming in for that. Also, the second hour, we're going to be talking about animal communicators. The third hour, we're going to be discussing law, legal protection for women and children. We have a judge that's coming out, and it's just dynamic. This is my third year of doing it. I absolutely love hosting this women's forum. It'll be on the Girls Talk stage. If you'd like more information about the Northwest Women's Show, go to NW Women Show, and you will find that you've got all kinds of details there. We're going to be posting the speakers that I will be hosting at the Women's Forum on Friday, March the 4th. I will also be speaking there on the 5th and the 6th. We haven't yet determined the time, and I'm going to be choosing the topic. So I'm just putting it out there for you right now. This is a marvelous event. Don't miss it. Let's go back to Vicki. Vicki, what's your question for me today? And thank you for waiting.
You're welcome. I was wondering, do you see me moving anywhere in the future?
Well, what kind of time frame are you looking at? You're not going to be going anywhere for, could be as long as 2 years. Now, I could be wrong. It could be by February of next year. I was getting two, but I don't think it's in 2 weeks, and
okay.
I don't think it's in 2 months, because I think you're working out a financial package for yourself. You're really knuckling down and paying attention to detail in a way that I think is phenomenal, And you're not doing it because you're afraid or intimidated. You're just saying, these are the facts. This is what I have to look at. So I think that there are going to be some financial concerns before you make the choice of really where you want to be. But yes, I do think you are going to move, but I don't think it's right away.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Vicki. Thanks for being a part of the show today.
You're welcome.
You stay
Bye
warm
now.
And safe now. Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be going to our next caller. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Caller, thank you very much for waiting. First name or initial, where are you calling in from?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This is Stephen calling from Canada.
Hi, Stephen. Where in Canada?
I'm calling from New Brunswick.
Oh, you must be freezing, too.
Minus 12.
Whew. Okay. You know, sometimes the East Coast gets worse than Alaska. But I know they said they have had record cold. They're 40 below. They were 40 below up in Fairbanks. I talked to someone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I think you ought to appreciate just the 12 below. I don't think you want to go as cold as Alaska.
No.
But that's cold. Okay, let's get down to business with you, Stephen. First of all, continue your education and your training. Also, there is a new mentor that you are going to find yourself linking up with. And this is a person, personality-wise, you may find them to be rather abrupt. They could be harshly critical. They don't always think before they speak. And if you are too tender, you're going to feel bruised. Don't. This is an individual. If you will take their criticism, evaluate it, see what is worth listening to, and know that part of it isn't justified, then just let it roll off of you, like water off of a duck's back. The reason I make that suggestion is that you're going through this learning curve. I would call it an apprentice curve. I like it, but you need to not feel like your target practice. This comes from your being more self-confident. And all you need to do is say to yourself, when you're beginning to feel like you're getting pummeled, because this person is going to be very detail-oriented in their criticism. The way to deflate that feeling is to say to that person, you know, you might be right. I really appreciate your commentary. I'm going to make my notes about it, and then I'm going to take your suggestions and see how I can use them. And when you do that, you're going to find a lot of the wind goes out of their hot air to a degree, but at the same time, it's going to level you out because you're not going to be in that defensive positioning, and it will enable you to be comfortable. And I want you to be comfortable because you are going through a learning curve, and there's no such thing as a shortcut. So this person that is going to be a new mentor for you, they don't have all the answers. And they don't see things from the perspectives that you do because their experience has led them through different, what do I want to say, valleys and mountains. So you are starting on your journey. You want to take the best of what they have to say. And if they, again, I'm repeating myself for a reason. If they are very, very harshly critical, don't take it personally. Accept it graciously. If you find you get a little irritated, go get yourself a cup of hot cocoa or something and just mellow out. But write down what they say because you're going to find they have some very, very good points, and it will save you a lot of headache and frustration if you listen thoughtfully and carefully. Some of their suggestions won't be appropriate because it's not going to be applicable, especially when it comes to certain aspects of technology. They just don't know what you're going to know that you need to do. So just be aware, you've got the smarts, you're just having to learn. Don't ever turn away from people that have walked a walk of experience that you've not walked. Learn from them, adapt, and then just keep going forward. You're doing a good job. Do you have a question for me, Stephen?
Thank you. I'll take that to heart. Yes, I have a question. I'm concerned about my finances. My current source of income will end at the end of April, and I don't know what I'm going to do after that.
Well, again, I was looking at something with education. There's an area specialty, and I'm sorry I'm having to talk very quickly right now because we are just about out of time. What I want you to be aware of, instead of looking at the lack, say and ask yourself, I need to replace myself. I need to move into a different genre. How do I do this? And I would talk to some people that you know. Just put it out there. I'm available for work. This is what I do. As of the end of April, I'm not going to have this positioning. Put the word out. Get busy. Get your resume together now. But also find out about how you can upgrade your knowledge so that you can make the transitional effort in the right direction without feeling like you're wasting a lot of time in the process. Stephen, I'm sorry I'm going to have to go, my friend. We are out of time.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, Stephen. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time. Thank you so much. Wherever you are, stay warm, stay safe. I know many of you listening are on the East Coast. The weather is just atrocious. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take care. Be well. We'll be back here tomorrow. And just to share some more good things with you, Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.